It's so good to have you with us today and everyone joining us by television. Welcome to Springs Church, all the sights of Springs Church. We love that fact that we're getting across this nation and touching the world for Jesus. Father, guide me today to speak. Let every heart be open to the powerful Word of God that changes all of us if we'll believe and mix our faith with what we hear. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to talk to you today about something that everybody is going to go, yeah, I knew that. But I want to mention in my introduction, the greatest enemy to the miraculous, the greatest enemy to faith is mental assent. Mental assent is assent. I agree. Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, that's cool. Good one, Leon. Another good one. That's great, Leon. Praise the Lord. Like I'll look at people and I'll think, I don't know if you even got that message because it's not changing anything in your life. And mental assent actually brings doubt and unbelief in if you're not careful, because you'll hear the word, you won't let it penetrate your heart and change your life and make the changes, so you feel better for knowing it for a while, but then knowing it just brings frustration because you can't get the results. God never designed you to go through life hearing the word so you just feel better about staying in your mess. He didn't design this world so that when you pray, things don't move, they don't change. But today, Christianity, I mean, it's become this religion where we're just good at just being patient with life, knowing that God is usually silent. So let's just get through this and know that one day in the sweet by and by, things are going to be better. And I just refuse to buy into that, because I know from looking at God's word that massive change is available to us all the time. Now, there's a story in the Bible that I want to start with about an older man named Zacharias. Zacharias and his wife didn't have any children. Now, he was a priest. And one day, as he was in doing his turn for duties in the temple, an angel appears to him. And so I'm going to just read a couple verses in Luke 1:18. And so here's this angel and this priest Zacharias. He says to the angel, I'll fill you in a little bit. He tells him he's going to have a son and that his wife hasn't had a baby yet, but she's going to be pregnant. They're going to have a son. So Zacharias says to the angel, how will I know this for certain? Okay, when's the last time an angel appeared to you? When's the last time it happened while you were in the temple? So how will I know this for certain? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. The angel answered and said to him, I'm Gabriel. He didn't just get an angel. He got like the head angel of the messenger angels who stands in the presence of God. And I've been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. It's quite the story as you read through this chapter of how God knew that John the Baptist was going to come and that he was going to herald the way for Jesus. So he appears, an angel appears to him and then tells him this, and he's still questioning it. Now, I've never had an angel appear to me, but I guarantee you, if an angel did appear to me and said something, I think I'd be pretty much convinced as you would be, you'd think, because how when's the last time an angel appeared to you? So, but the one thing I want to talk about today that we need to understand, because the body of Christ, for some reason, is still locked in old covenant, he made him silent. He made him silent until the birth of that baby. Now, you've only got one of two choices looking at this. God was mad at him and wanted to punish him, or his mouth could have hurt this miracle. or his mouth could have hurt this miracle. Every word that you say, every word that comes out of your mouth has consequences. Our problem is they're usually delayed. But every word that you speak, the Bible says you'll be justified and condemned. And people take that verse and think that when you stand before God one day, that he's going to look through all your words. No, no, no. It's already a self-evident thing. Whatever you are saying, okay, you are convincing your heart of. And whatever you are saying, you are causing to be released into your world, your future, into the three worlds. Because there is spirit, soul, and body. There's the physical realm. There's the mental realm. There's the spiritual realm. Every word you speak is having an impact on them. And we've got to go back and see all through the word the power of words. And then you need to speak up about what words, what kind of a life do you want? A lot of people wonder, what do you pray about when you pray? Leon, they'll say, how do you pray? What do you do when you pray? What I do when I pray is I take the promises of God related to the thing that I'm praying about, and I speak those promises, or I pray the promises. I just pray them. I declare them. And when you do, the Bible teaches us that you are, there's two things that you do when you confess or you speak God's word. Pray God's word is that you establish your heart. And then when your heart is established in grace, which is this new covenant, then the words that you speak have the power to move mountains, change things, cause the right things to be attracted, the wrong things to be repelled. One of the reasons that the confession of God's word hasn't been continued by people is because if you confess God's word and you think that when you speak you're causing things to change, but your heart hasn't changed, you feel weird. You feel like you're lying. You feel like, well, I'm declaring right now that prosperity and blessing is on my life in the name of Jesus. And Leon, I'm telling you right now, it's getting worse. So, well, fine. Did you keep confessing the word? No, because it just felt cold. The first thing, speaking the word, praying the word, confessing the word does is establish your heart in the word of God. You have to guard your heart. You have to establish your heart. It is your heart that is made to release the miraculous. Your heart is the womb of your future. It is your heart giving birth to the future and to your life. But Satan wants to trick us into thinking that, you know, it's the devil that is messing with this, or that God is holding it back. Today, everywhere I go in Pentecostalism, spirit-filled churches, they're still praying, oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, release your spirit. Lord, release your power. Lord, we pray that you would move in the mulberry trees. I hear the rustle in the mulberry trees, and I know, the move is on. All of this Old Testament stuff. Not realizing that he's given us all things that pertain to life. He's given us all things that pertain to godliness. So we must pray differently. We must speak up. We must speak out. We must speak at. Your words are the most powerful thing in your life. Well, no, Leon, God's the most powerful. No, I'm sorry, he's not. Because he's limited by your words. And so as we get into this lesson today, I want you to understand that for you to get the truth of God's word, John chapter 8, verse 32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth you know will set you free. Well, you've got to know it from the heart. Now, your heart is filled with stuff, and if you followed me for any amount of time, you'll know your heart has beliefs that have been established there by others, growing up, children, etc. And when you begin to speak the word, recognize the first thing you're doing is guarding your heart, planting the word in your heart, and if you'll keep that word there. Now, when Satan sees you on purpose beginning to go, I want to go there, therefore my heart's got to go there first. If this is the kind of harvest I want, I must deal with the word and the seed planted in my heart first. I must get the word in my heart. And so you begin to speak the word. When you're praying, you're speaking the word. When you're walking and your fear begins to push at you, you begin to speak back. You begin to speak out. You begin to speak to. You begin to speak up. If you don't start speaking, you're going to sit there trying to be believing. You can't believe without speaking. You can't control your believing without speaking. Speaking is absolutely important. In fact, I firmly believe that when God was in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, I don't believe they communicated through verbal conversation. I believe they conversed spirit to spirit, and that the words that he spoke were used as a form of power, as a form of release, as a form of authority. Now, I'm sure they could speak if that's fine, if they wanted to, but when you study all of God's creation, elephants had their power and skunks have their stink and tigers have their claws and horses have their speed. Man had nothing, dull teeth, no fur, no hair, just this wimpy little thing standing there with no real power over any of the animal kingdom. So where would the power be? It would be in the authority given him to by God. Where would he exercise that authority? The way God did. If there's one thing Satan wants you to do is to shut up, shut down, stop speaking, start complaining, start talking about your worries, your woes, and oh, woes this. And then, it's amazing to me how many people get up in the morning, I just feel a little yuck today. They just want to say something. They want to say something negative. Talk to somebody in the afternoon. How's it going? Oh, Then before they go to bed, And there is this massive desire to verbalize the negative. It makes the best conversations, What's negative happening? I can up that one. Man, this is what happened to me. Oh, you, listen to what happened to me. And if we do not get our tongues under control, if we do not recognize that life and death are in the power of the tongue and begin to recognize, speak the word of God. Pray the word of God every day, every time something pushes at you. That doesn't mean that we don't help the people around us. If you're talking to a doctor for a checkup, make sure and list every ache, every pain, every symptom. Of course you'd want to do that. Then why even see the doctor? We're not talking about a play on words. We're just talking about when you pray, speak the word, pray the word. It affects your heart first, and it begins to establish your heart in grace. The New Testament it talks about God's grace. It's your righteousness. It is God's favor in your life. And if you're not careful, you're going to go back to the way you were taught in all your old praying. Oh, Lord. And it's like we had to release the Holy Spirit. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it talks about that there in the beginning, it talks about it was God. And then it says, and the Spirit of God was moving on the waters. And in the Amplified, it says, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And the next verse says, and God said. And when God said, this incubating, this brooding that was going on by Holy Spirit, it's the word that you'd use for a mother hen brooding over the eggs. Why? Those eggs are about to hatch. They're going to give birth to new life. Did you know that where Holy Spirit is moving and brooding, that when you speak the word, that the power of God goes in? And you can't just have Holy Spirit doing it. There's got to be the spoken word. How did God release his power? He spoke it. When Jesus came to the earth, God with us, Jesus is God with us. When he represented God, how did he release his power? Did he wave his hands like Moses or the rod? No, he spoke it over storms, spoke it over sickness, spoke it over disease. The enemy wants you to shut up. The enemy wants you to feel weird praying the word. He wants you to feel different so that you back off and just put up with the circumstances of life. We need to pray the word to establish our own hearts in the truth of God's word. And then as you speak, the Bible says mountains remove. The Bible says things will change. There's another interesting verse in the Bible about Daniel. And I'm going to read you this too because it's fascinating. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, Daniel's praying about something. And while he's praying about this, let's just start in verse 12. An angel appears to him, and the chapter goes on talking about this angel. And I'm just grabbing the couple of verses I want to teach from, so read it in Daniel 10. Then the angel said to me, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this, humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to God's direction." No, I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Now, here we're talking about the kingdom of Persia, the prince. We're not talking about an earthly person. This is how they would talk about right now, because no earthly person can hang on to an angel and stop him from doing his job. So the prince of the kingdom of Persia is talking about a demonic entity that was enslaving this country and having them worship him. Everyone thinks that when you worship a stone idol or you worship a tree or you worship an idol, that it's really nothing that major. Well, it's not for me, because I'm not, and I can walk right through that temple no problem. But you have to understand that for the people who do worship idols, there's almost always an entity, a demonic entity, that's receiving that praise, adulation, and worship. And that's why they'll have different occultic activity or demonic movement or things going on. And so idolatry and worshiping other things is wrong. But this is the prince of the kingdom of Persia. He withstands this angel. But then it says, then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia, plural. Now, I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. All right, couple thoughts I want to give you out of here. The first is, this angel very clearly says, I am coming because of your words. Because of your words. And now I'm going to just say this to you, and I'm going to show you another verse in a minute. Angelic protection. The fact that angels move amongst us unawares. Bible says it. As angels move amongst us unawares. The fact that angels can prosper. Angels can come in when there's a we've got on record in the Old Testament of an angel getting involved in a battle, and hundreds of thousands of warriors died in a blink of an eye when one angel got involved. An entire angelic host. Hebrews 1:14 says that angels are here for those who are saved. Salvation. So, when you think about this, if there are billions of angels, and there are they all just sitting around doing nothing? Or are we just not aware of the activity and the protection and the things that are going on? But this angel is telling Daniel, I came for your words. Let me show you another portion of scripture in Psalms 103, verses 19 to 21. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. The word sovereignty, again, does not mean that God has the right to change his mind. It just means all-powerful, all-knowing, the sovereign one. Today, when people say, oh, God's sovereign, it means if he didn't back up his word, he's sovereign. He can change his mind. That word is not even in the Bible. That teaching comes from Greek mythology and slipped into Christianity back in the 2,000 years ago as people begin to try to understand this. And the Greek gods were always fickle. They'd promise one thing, do another, etc. But that's not our God. Now, he's sovereign. He rules over all. And it says, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Now, why did they write it this way? Why did they just say simply, they obey God? That'd be the easier way to do it. They obey God. Of course they obey God. We know that. But it's not saying that here. It's saying that they obey the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Now, in the Old Testament, before Jesus died on the cross, you'd have things where maybe an angel could, or a demonic entity could delay something for 21 days. In the New Testament, we're in a different covenant where the authority has been given to you and I. I just want you to notice, though, how powerful confession is. that angels obey the voice of his word. They do God's will. Well, do you think angels are just kind of these mindless people, or do you think they probably know God's word? If they know God's word, they know God's will. If they know God's will, they don't even have to stand around blandly waiting. Well, I'm just waiting for a command from God. Well, listen, there's like thousands of promises in the Word of God. You guys were witnessing, because angels were alive right back from Adam and on. You guys were there witnessing when Jesus was born, when Jesus died, when Jesus rose again, when the apostles walked around with the authority of the believer. So you know more about the Word than anybody. Angels aren't waiting for God to finally, please God, please, can I go? I'd love to go do something about this. They don't have to. They know God's will. But yet over and over, we'll find examples of what are you saying? What are you praying? If your prayers are, well, Lord, let the Holy Spirit begin to move upon them, you need to go back to Acts chapter 2. Because in Acts chapter 2, it says that very thing. It says, in the last days, says God, I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy, which is faithfully declaring the future. Your young men are going to see visions. Your old men are going to dream dreams. And on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. You see, when you are confessing the word, you are prophesying. Why? Because you are declaring what you want in your future. You're declaring what God's will is for your future. You're declaring it. So the word of God needs to come out your mouth. The word of God needs to be spoken to establish your heart. If you are a believer who had previous miracles in your life take place, and now things aren't happening, and you're wondering why, where did this time of miracles go that I used to have and now that I don't have, I would tell you that God's not changed. God's not withdrawn. God is not limiting your prosperity if it's a business issue. He's not limiting your healing if it's a healing issue. But your heart, if you do not guard your heart, and the three gateways to your heart are what you're looking at, what you're here listening to, and what you're saying with your mouth. If you don't guard your heart from doubt and unbelief and all that the enemy would pour at you, you will find yourself as a Christian not being able to have the inheritance that's already been given to you. You won't be accessing it. You will not be enjoying it. And the enemy would love for you to back down. There's so many of you listening to me right now who are in the middle of a crisis. You need a financial breakthrough, a relationship breakthrough. You need a breakthrough somewhere. And you've been taught the word. And you've been here now for years. And you've kind of have just kind of drifted into mental assent. You think because you know it, it's worth points. It's not worth points just knowing it. It's worth points declaring it, establishing your heart in it, and speaking to mountains and rising up and will not back down, because I know who I am and I know whose I am and I know what my God's given me and I know my authority and I will not back down on this. It's crucial for us to recognize, as in the days of creation, when the Spirit of God was moving and brooding on the waters and God spoke, the Holy Spirit has been loosed in this day and age, in these last days, which that period of time started when Jesus rose from the dead. The day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit was released. Where was he released? To all mankind. But we still got people interceding and praying to get the move of God. We just need God to move. We need God to move in Canada. God move. And tears are, people are so passionate, they're so passionately wrong. We need to get established in the word. It says God once winked at our ignorance. The word, the inheritance, the authority, the power has all been given to us. And we're still acting like it hasn't been. So we are literally praying in doubt. We're praying in unbelief. We're handing to God what he's handed to us. We're saying to God, move. And God said, you move. I already moved. I finished it. Jesus said, it's finished. And then Peter said, you've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's showing us that you and I must establish our hearts in grace, begin to confess God's word, begin to speak God's word. If there's something I could just get into your heart today, is today, stop declaring and talking things with your mouth that are just negative. Stop cursing your body. Stop giving pain, disease, sickness, poverty, barely get by. Stop giving it the right to stay by always talking about it. Stop allowing other people into your world who get upset when you're positive, when you have hope. Hope is positive expectation for the future. All right? And faith is absolutely persuaded. But people will come at your hope. And I believe there's a demonic agenda from the enemy to attack your hope. Because faith can only be where hope has already been. Hope is expecting. Hope is things are going to get better. Things are going to change. The God's on my side. The promises of God are on my side. And this hope-filled atmosphere needs to be there so that when something arises, you need to speak to mountains, you are absolutely persuaded. But the people you're hanging around with, people in business in the same area that you are, people who are being with you when it comes to relationships, you'll just notice the enemy, because the Bible says in Mark chapter 4 that once you begin to get your heart planted with God's word and the seed goes into the soil, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. He's not stupid. He's been watching for an eternity. He watched the world being created. He was alive. He watched Adam and Eve. He went into the garden. Thousands of years he's been tempting people out of their victory, tempting them out. You are no hope to outthink him. You can't just sit passively around waiting for God to move. He's already moved. He sent his son to die on the cross. So you and I need to get up and start speaking the word. Don't you ever stop. For the rest of the days of your life, every time you think about something, you begin to declare God's word. That's praying. That's declaring. That's speaking. That's where the world is going. Your world is going. And if you don't speak up, if you don't speak out, if you don't speak at, then you're no different than the world. You've been given all the authority, all the power, and you're just not using it. So my challenge to you today is start today. Don't be a person that has to be bottle fed, but get a hold of your Bible again and get into the Word. And decide what kind of life you want. God did not decide who would prosper and who wouldn't. God did not decide who would be healed and who wouldn't. God did not decide who would be happy and who wouldn't. God did not decide you get a miracle and you don't. He's already decided yes for everyone. Blessings for everyone. His will is, his goodness is for everyone. You and I need to decide, what am I going to say? Bible says, he hath said that I might say. Doesn't matter what area I think about, I got to close with these thoughts. I'll just give you some practical examples. Right now, if I'm thinking about the nation of Canada, and I'm thinking about the prime minister, and I'm thinking about what's going on, I'm thinking about the money, and I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about that, you know, it's not going to be, oh, God, just change this. Okay. First of all, you're now in the wrong domain. Okay? God put authority into your world, and so you're supposed to change it. So instead, say, Father, I pray for our prime minister, the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of you, the eyes of his understanding being opened. I declare the enemies that come against Canada, I forbid that. In the name of Jesus, whatever's going on, I forbid the attack on Canada, from terrorism to financial to whatever the enemy would try to do about our freedom here. The Bible says if you don't pray for leaders, you're not going to have peace. When's the last time you prayed for Canada? When's the last time you prayed over the leader of your company, the leader of your church, the leader of your province, the leader of your city? The Bible says if Christians don't pray for their leaders, well, actually it says to pray for your leaders so that you can have peace and prosperity. So we got a ton of church people begging and pleading with God, which isn't even effective prayer. That's doubt. Prayer has to be in faith. So get up and declare the word of God that I live in this country. You know that whole countries are changed because of one person? Read the Bible. So therefore, I declare right now that Canada is blessed of God. I thank you right now that we're going to have great leadership in every area. If you're going to pray right now over your children, oh, God, stop. God's already moved. His presence is already poured out. Holy Spirit's already brooding and moving on your children, on you, on your finances. We just need your words to ratify it. We just need you speaking to get it done. His Spirit's poured out upon all flesh. It doesn't even leave one out. Therefore, begin to declare. You got an unsaved loved one. Father, I thank you right now. The season of pleasure is stopping in his life. And in the name of Jesus Christ, he's got the spirit of wisdom upon him, the eyes of understanding open. Bring people across his path to talk to him. I declare that son is serving God in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how I would pray. It wouldn't be, Father, part the heavens and let down the heavenly ladder. Let angels begin to, and let your spirit blow upon him. That's all Old Testament. It sounds poetic. It sounds beautiful. It's good in public prayer if you want to just impress people. But if you want to be effective prayer warriors, then know who you are. Find the word of God and speak up, speak out, speak at, and let God's word begin to change things. Or you're never going to move anywhere prosperity-wise. Or you're never going to really be able to see changes in your health and your home. Whatever God's word promises requires you. It requires you to speak his word. Because when you do, it changes your heart. And when your heart gets established, the Bible says it'll begin to produce in your life 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. With what? With whatever seed you planted. If you planted prosperity and blessing. You know, if we are going to be as a church what God's called us to be, then we need every one of us to get up and to begin to declare the financial blessing on our lives, to begin to declare that my business is going to new levels, begin to declare that when something gets shut down, the favor of God is so strong on me, nothing can keep me down, that I have got favor even with my enemies, that the favor of God's upon me in all that I put my hand to. As you begin to understand grace, begin to speak, begin to declare what God's doing in your family, your home. If you're not, who is? Well, I believe in people are praying for me. People can pray for you, but what they're praying for you is for you to have a revelation to speak to your own life. Even an unsaved person, you can't get them saved till they speak themselves to God and invite him in and declare and ask him to forgive. So these words must come out of our mouth. If you get lulled into a season of non-productivity, it'll be because you've stopped declaring that what is done, and it's mine. You have an inheritance. It is done. It is yours. I'm challenging you today. Get up and begin to pray. Begin to believe. And then walk in love. Don't just pray about yourself. Begin to declare that we're reaching the city of Winnipeg for Jesus. From the north, the south, the east, and the west, they're pouring into this church and every other site of Springs Church. Begin to declare that the world is attracted to the television show of our services going out there, and people are being saved by the millions. We've got to be known by our love. So let the love of God rise up. And don't just speak God's word over you. Begin to speak God's word over this church, over people you don't know, or that you know but don't know Christ. Begin to believe God that you're going to have a whole section of people that you brought to church. Let's not just use our faith and the speaking of God's word into our own little problems, but let's become the soul winners. Let's become the salt, the light. Let's believe God. Everywhere I go, I run into somebody I can share Christ with. Father, you bring me into someone's situation and I'll speak up. I thank you right now. Use me, God. Let me be the laborer everywhere I go that I can talk with people, share with people, and your life will just open up into one of joy. Father, I pray right now that the presence of God who is here right now would just, the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of you, that Father, the eyes of our understanding would be opened. Let your presence touch them. Let that reveal to them. Let right now us get off this desire to just wait patiently and to recognize there is a place to wait, but have we been speaking to mountains, declaring your word, establishing our heart in grace? And Father, I'm believing you for the miraculous exploding in the lives as they begin to speak your word. Father, I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, with every head bowed. The most powerful words you can ever speak are words that change your eternal destiny. Words that you give your life, your heart to Him. Words that accept Christ as your Savior, this beautiful gift of salvation that's been given to you. And so I'm going to lead you in a powerful prayer, a prayer of getting right with God, a prayer of inviting Him into your heart, a prayer that only you can pray for yourself. Before I lead everybody in this prayer, right from your seats, if you'd like to be included, I would say to me, Pastor Leon, today I'm getting right with God. Today I need to give my life to Him. Just slip your hand up so I can see it. Put it right back down. Thank you. Others, thank you. Others, thank you. Anyone else? Just give me a quick hands up. Say, Leon, I need Christ in my life. For those watching by television right now, there's a leader at the front. If you're in a spring site, just raise your hand right now to them till they see it. Then put it right back down, saying, yes, include me in this prayer. And let's all pray together with these amazing folks making this decision. Pray this out loud with me. Just, dear God, I give you my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me for everything I've done wrong. From today and on, I'm following you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Congratulations. That's how powerful giving your life to Him.